So I don't forget, I want to thank Mississippi State and Dan Reynolds and University of Nebraska and Greg Krueger for helping us put together the data from 15 and 16. So we're going to talk on, try to get through this in 15 minutes. Let's see if I can do this. So the five main topics are just some university studies, a sprayer demonstration that we set up this year, the correlation between soybean emergence and spray days, weather, the benefits, and then some videos of just some machinery. So in summary, from the universities, I won't go into much there too much, but studies from the two universities prove that the hooded sprayers reduce drift of Roundup Power Max an average of approximately 90% compared to an open boom. This study was done in 13, just in Nebraska. It's a little more difficult to understand, but the main thing back in 13 is the first year of our new hood, and we wanted to see if there was a difference compared to our first broadcast hood. So the studies that we're going to look at mostly were done in 15 and 16 at the two universities, and just look at the data. So what we were looking at was fine droplet, medium, very coarse, and ultra coarse, with the fine droplet, the 100%, the blue, being the comparable. I think I'm saying that right. And then as you look down on the open boom on the left, it's a percentage of that 100%. And so fine, medium, very coarse, and ultra. On the right, and these are all based off like 7 feet on the far left, basically in the hood, the same tips, fine, medium, very coarse, ultra coarse, was it comparable to the open boom? So just to separate them out a little bit, the relative percent drift, amount of drift compared to the open boom drift at 7 feet from the fine droplets. On the left, inside the hood, we had about 20% movement at 7 feet compared to the 100%, and then it trailed out in the graph. On the right, the medium droplets, as you would assume, the drift, it becomes less and less as the droplets become larger on the open. The boom, we really didn't see inside the hood much difference between, in my view, between fine and medium droplets. Very coarse and ultra coarse. Same thing on the left. The open, about 20% at the 7 feet, and roughly 10% movement inside the hood. And the ultra coarse, which would be your TTI. Now, this again is at 9 mile an hour open and 9.5 miles per hour on the hooded boom. You still get some movement from out under the hood, but not as much as the open boom. So basically, in summary of that part was open boom compared to the hooded boom at the 3 and 10 mile an hour particle drift was reduced. One thing, the red ball hoods, we've seen over the time way back to 13, that as the hood runs along, you move the canopy so you're getting more consistent and better coverage, which should lead in hopefully to performance. And as we interviewed people up north, probably more than the south, the applicators, what we'll see a little later, were looking for more spray time so they could do it legally and safely, and that the hoods would help in that. So here what we did was, trying to find the mouse here. There we go. So what we did right here is we set up a little demonstration unit, hoods on the right and open boom on the left. We set the nozzles at 24 inches on the open, and the hood is comparable at 24 inches also. So when you're running our hoods, the front curtains are meant to touch the canopy and actually move the canopy, and that would be the correct height for your overlap when you're running in the field. And so in the test, we looked at AIXRs and XR tips, fine and ultra coarse. And we wanted to get up to higher winds more consistent compared to on a field study. So it wasn't done with the university, it was done in our building where we were trying to not have crosswinds and have the wind change. We set up fans about 7 foot in front of these. So we measured 10 and 15 mile an hour winds right at the boom. And then we put water sensitive paper 10 feet downwind on the backside at 12 and 24 inches above what you'd consider the concrete here would be like the canopy. So here what you see on the left would be an open boom. The top one there is 12 inches off the canopy, so to speak, and 10 mile an hour and 15 mile an hour wind, water sensitive paper, 10 feet downwind. Dark spots, of course, is the drift, 40 psi. And then down to the next one below that, the down in here, those are measured at 24 inches above the canopy. On the right, we did the same thing behind the hoods. And so you see the comparable with the hood, with the same wind speed, same measurement of height, same location, and just the difference between the two. Why we wanted to do that to see if it compared to the Mississippi-Nebraska study, which is pretty close. You know, basically you're seeing more movement with the open than the hooded. Then we did with the AI XR, very coarse tip. And there you would assume to see less again from the open boom, but we didn't really see much difference from the hooded boom. You can see a few more specks there, but that's just really what happened, basically. So in that there, that first picture showed the hoods, the curtain down right at 24 inches, so we know that all operators aren't going to keep it right at 24 inches above the canopy, so we went to and raised it up to 32 inches. So it'd be 32 inches on the open boom and 32 inches on the hood. So on the front curtain, it would be off about 8 inches off of the canopy. Just looking at how much movement of with the wind coming underneath, how much product it would carry away from it. And what we saw when the boom got higher, of course, the water-sensitive paper got more covered. Now these are, we took these over a 10-second spray period of time. So we ran the sprayer for 10 seconds, shut it off, change the water-sensitive paper. And then the ones on the right, pretty much the same as if you had it right down on the canopy. And the AIXR, let's see. Yeah, that was with the fine tip. And then this one was for the ultra coarse at 32 inches. So the ultra coarse you would assume should be better, even in the hood, and on the open boom also. So what we saw on the water sensitive is that I farm too, but if I'm using a fine tip or a coarser tip inside the hood and I'm running it properly from my what I see, you're getting less movement than you would from complete opposite on an open boom. Now, this isn't statistical like at the universities, but it's just practical. And we wanted to get it up to a consistent higher wind speed, like 15, because when we did over the years trying to get it consistent to stay consistent in the field, it always varies. And then you can have crosswinds and different things like that also. One thing I wanted to, we don't have any data on this, but I just wanted to throw it out, is that the picture on the left is an open boom looking at inversions. So if you put a hood on it, and basically we're looking at the inversion being fine particles, if the fine particles are collected inside the hood, how do you ever get a small particle up into that inversion layer? We don't have no data, but it's just, I wanted to throw that out there. Soybean emergence and spray days, I'll try to go through this in essence of time. What we did is we took 89 sites across the U.S., and we were looking at measuring water, wind at 10 in the morning and 3 in the afternoon, looking at what happens when we have to spray at 3 and 10 mile an hour, and what can we try to control. We can't control rain, temperature, that kind of thing, but with a hood, we should be able to control wind. We got the data from wind speeds, from weather underground. We measured wind gusts where applicable, and 10 and 3, like I said, their climate. And then the emergence was from the USDA. This year, Purdue did in the month of June, and I won't go through the details, but they went out and measured rain events, basically the wind and such. And at Lafayette, they came up with 47 hours in the month of June that would have been legal for a 3 and 10 mile an hour wind span. We did sort of something comparable. We tried to do as much comparable. Just what we were measuring is if we could get the label changed to go to with a hood to 15 instead of 10, how many more legal spray days would an operator have? And one of the issues this year in Illinois, there was quite a few complaints. But if you look at the planting dates and emergence, because we want to spray X days after emergence, where we had an issue this year versus 17 was the same period of time we had more than 4.2 million acres that needed to be sprayed in that ideal time frame. So they didn't have enough time, so I'm sure they were pushing the limits relative to following the label. Just a quick here, if you could go to 15 with the hood in Lafayette, we gained 3.5 days in the month over an open boom. The timing here, the 25 to 30 days. And Bloomington, Illinois, we gained 2.5 days or about 125% if you could have a legal label at 15 versus 10. On an average, if you look at all the different sites, Minnesota to the south, an average was almost about 50% legal days when you look at if you could use a hood and get it from 10 to 15 mile an hour. Every day lost up north, it's about $10,000 for the operator. Pretty much the benefits there. Pretty much it's like you're taking a hood and putting it over a spray pattern, and basically the open boom, it's pretty obvious. The other thing on resistance you look at is that if you have a buffer and it's on the downwind side and you're controlling the spray on the Red Bull hooded spray on the left, you should have less sublethal doses in that buffer than what you would with an open boom. And so the more sublethal doses we get, the higher the odds, I would think, of resistance. And in the north up there, talking to custom applicators, it's really unlikely that they're going to get back to spray at the perfect time when the wind switches and basically they come and spray that buffer. Here's just an example on my farm. The picture on the left, basically, we ran the hood and you can just see a perfect demarcation along the field. Some of the benefits is, you know, just risk management relative to spraying and off-target movement. It isn't a dicamba machine when you look at insecticides, all herbicides. I think the biggest potential impact is on insecticides, where they're moving that, when will it be when we have buffers for those also. Abatement and resistance, just added protection from sensitive areas. As we look through this year, we did find that in Canada and in Europe, they're already given benefit to hoods, basically in reduction of, just for drift reduction technologies, whether it be for buffers or whatever there. I think Australia, I think, is working on it, but I'm not sure, but these here too we found. This year's sprayer was in Illinois. We've got different forms of sprayers. These are kits that go on the self-propelled. And so he was spraying 3 to 7 mile an hour winds, fungicide, and I hope this will start. So on the broadcast, you fold in the tips and you spray with the hoods around the buffer or the perimeters, and then you open it up in the field and do the remainder of the field. This one here, he's spraying fungicide. And you can see the wind speed, I think it was about 7 or 8, but you can see on the open boom, the portion that's just up in the atmosphere. In the hoods, what it's doing is moving the beans. So if you're spraying insecticide or fungicide, it's getting that coverage down where you want to get the aphids and different things like that. But that's very realistic, depending on the terrain of the ground, of course. Then we make three-point versions up to 10 to 60 feet. I'll just skip over this one. And then basically a fully mounted one. We had a custom applicator in Minnesota, southern Minnesota. He bought two of these, and he rigged the tractor. I rented the tractor, put saddle tanks on it, and these are his two dicamba machines. So he does all his dicamba in his particular case with these machines with hoods on the full disc. Full hood. So with that, I raced through a lot of stuff. It's on our website if you want to see it. I've got some printed materials too and such. So any questions or yes?
How much weight are you at for those goods on like a 90-foot limb?
On the self-propelled?
Probably.
On the self-propelled, the kits that go on them, it's about 8.5 pounds per running foot. And our 90, we can only hood 60, pretty much, out of the 90 because of the fold, the storage area, and then usually the very tips are lighter weight. So, yeah, the 120 is about 80 feet. Haven't seen any problems. The John Deere machines are the simplest to mount to, them and the Rogators, pretty much. Any other questions? Appreciate your time. Thank you.